type of people. Many of them are anxious and don't go into work, but some of them are adjusting very well. And we have tried to open youth organizations and various things, you know, to help them in accommodation. So we have that immigration, this is an extreme part of the immigration problem, but of course you have it also otherwise. But I think they are integrated tremendously rapidly, internationally, comparatively speaking, the foreigners there in our society. I will tell you something, a story. I was Minister of Trade 45. You see, the war ended, might have heard about Bernadotte and his committee, which got so many of these people out from the camps, the concentration camps in Germany. And we got, among others, a large number of Jewish, Polish women. Many of them died, you know, I mean, died, and we had to put them in camps. We call it not something else, but they just couldn't function. They had no sexual morality left, no sense for property. If they sow potatoes, you know, down here, and you had to educate them to take care of themselves democratically. It took very little time. Alva, my wife, was once editing a newspaper in 16 languages for this people we got out of the concentration camp. Then when I was Minister of Commerce, I had to visit textile industry, particularly textile industry, because as soon as possible got them out in the labor market. And I used to ask, have you any of the Polish women here? Oh yes, there stands one there. And then I went to her. She had a little longer arms to cover the Jew mark, you know, this horrible thing which they put on here. She was married now, spoke Swedish. They have disappeared. Now they have disappeared, brother. I mean, and the Sudeten Germans, and you know, they've absolutely disappeared into the whole thing. I think integration is going on, but a danger there is something which delays. It is, of course, language. You can't possibly live. You can be a professor in Sweden, speak only English, and nobody would care, but you can't start on in the labor market if you don't know the language. You just think it's a little of the difficulties which immigrants had in this country. We are living through that now, you see. And then you have special groups. One was the Balts, you know, came over, and they tried to keep a sort of identity. And another one are these American deserters. You see what I mean? There you have special difficulties because of special position.
You sent the Balts back.
Pardon?
You sent the Balts back.
No, that's not how we sent the soldiers in the German army, as we all did. This is a long story. I've been inquiring about that about somebody else. Incidentally, we have had a very, very good book on that by one of our most prominent young novelists, which has put the whole in perspective. Incidentally, he went over to Baltimore too and saw what happened to them, met many of them, and this was blown up for political reasons, a very different thing. Yeah.
You compare the United States and Sweden in many ways as to how you think the United States should go forward with reforms. I was wondering what thoughts you had as to the difference, the size differential in the United States, especially the population differential in the United States.
Well, my friend, I don't, you know, I know enough about America to know that you have very difficult problems. One is, of course, this thing that you are not still an integrated country. You see, I mean, you have still a lot of corruption, and you know, your trade unions, even if it's a smaller part of them, are often not enough of member participation. You see, it's all that, and you explain it. Some say because it's a young country, it's not a young country. Your old universities are from the Renaissance like ours, and younger universities are like this one. You know, it's not that. Trade unions, as I said, 100 years older than in Scandinavia. Sometimes I have even the feeling that we have certain elements of senility in America. It's not the youngster. The bigness is no trouble. I mean, we travel also. I mean, and there is no reason why a man happens to travel from far away and comes to a community, why he should let the community be run by crooks. You know, I mean, what nobility. I mean, no, the real difficulty is the lack of integration in them. This is an immigration country. And most people here don't have a rooted, or if they are rooted, it keeps them apart. You see what I mean? So there are differences. Nevertheless, there are very great similarities. We are very, very much like like the Americans in general outlook. There is no place on earth where an American feels himself more at home, I will tell you, if you talk to your people, than when it comes to Stockholm. He's not at home in England because it's a little too much of lordism and, you know, various things. I mean, Sweden is quite at home, or in Australia. You know, we are the type of similar countries. But naturally, there is an advantage to be a small country. Since the beginning of this century, there has been a mythology that big is great. You know, this is a queer mythology, which I never understood. We are, of course, much nearer the what you might call the optimum size for administration, for practically everything. And one good thing of being a small country, my friend, as I look upon it, is that we can never be tempted to go out and police the world. You see what I mean? We have quite big defense installations, but they are to defending our own country. We are the fourth air power still, I think, after Russia, America, England, then comes Sweden, and we make our own airplanes independent of foreign countries. But we are not sending our soldiers, we never send outside the boundary. Because of that, we reckon one fighting man, you reckon one fighting man of four, because the rest, I suppose, are providing chocolates and, you know, it's much which is needed for the American boys. While we reckon four fighting men on five. During the war we were then 7 million people, we had 700,000 soldiers at the boundary. So there are great advantages in being a small country. You know, we can never be tempted to try to have aid to underdeveloped countries for the strategic reasons, the best interest of Sweden. You know, it's a much which keeps us on a more sensible and rational level.
I'm afraid that Dr. Myrdal's schedule is such that we must terminate the meeting at this time. I would like to extend warm thanks to Dr. Myrdal for being with us. The meeting is adjourned.